Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder. Yeah. Please welcome co-host and miscreants, the Reverend Spiro.
I do declare.
And Mr. Adam Velez.
How y'all doing?
So what are we going to talk about today, guys? What do you think? Let's do it off the cuff today. What do you think?
Let's talk about traffic.
Traffic. eating in traffic. Like the KFC cup on the go. How come you can't text, but you can use the cup on the go? How is that not illegal?
I have no clue, dude.
I thought about that all the time, especially cigarette smokers. How did they get away with it? Is it the same
law? I can't drive without smoking. I'll kill people if I don't smoke and drive. You don't want me to drive without a cigarette.
I don't drive, period.
In fact, if you don't smoke, you need to smoke in my car if we're driving together. That's how it is.
People come to you when you're in your car, they think you're trying to kill yourself. Like, no, I'm just smoking a fucking cigarette.
It's a complete
There's no hose attached for my exhaust.
I'm really glad that we have a dimensional psychologist here today. It's going to be very revealing.
For all appropriate reasons.
Today, we're talking about eating oddities, eating strange, eating disorders, eating different things
Everything. That
you really shouldn't eat.
And eating dangerous objects for the amusement of others.
Oh, yeah.
Eating dangerous objects for the amusement of others. Eating glass.
Yes, all that
Very
kind of stuff.
Dangerous.
Hyalophagia. I looked that up. That's what it is. It's from the Greek hyalos, meaning glass, and phagia something.
to eat. Go phagia to yourself.
I thought you could explain that.
Nah, dude, I have no clue. I mean, you know, it's like...
I'll have the spanakopita, I'll have the hylophagia.
And the phagia.
The feta.
Well, I mean, let's... I'm gonna jump in and introduce our guests. We have Michelle Cleary.
Yes.
Who is a dimensional psychologist who also talks a lot about... We've had conversations about compulsive eating.
Yes.
And we also have our friend Fred Kahl, a.k.a. the great Fredini. Fred, you on the line?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's
how
up?
How you doing there, Fred?
Yeah, Fred. Fred is an old time friend of mine. We met when I was actually the king of the Mermaid Parade. In
king
95.
Of the Mermaid Parade. That's pretty impressive.
That's
Joe Franklin.
That's some credentials, right?
No, 95. There were more people in the parade than watching it. It was. It was raining. I was dripping green paint everywhere.
Were you dressed like a mermaid?
I was dressed like King Neptune.
That was the year McDonald's was going to take over the Sideshow building.
Yipes.
Well, that was the whole premise. Like McDonald's, I'd written a big article about these guys, and we put it up on Prodigy Home Networks. Remember them?
That was the internet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know the woman who wrote it.
I'm having a flashback.
Yeah. So we did this article, and then these guys were telling me that they were losing their home. They were losing their home because there was a McDonald's, being put up there when there was a McDonald's in Iview. So we whipped McDonald's characters down the sidewalk. We actually, I think the Hamburglar
had
got
Grimace,
the most of it.
Like holding, like he was
the
like
the Hamburglar got the worst.
The Hamburglar got bad.
As he should. Yes, as he
yes,
should.
You know. But yeah, I want to throw out a couple of things in regards to
who'd have thunk that years later we would combine the two. Now we're combining bad eating and freaks.
I know.
After all this time, it's come full circle.
Well, I want to jump in there because one of the reasons I'm excited to have Michelle on is because I myself feel I compulsively eat, and the way I do this is, I eat. You know how some people lose their appetites when they're sick? The sicker I get,
the hungrier you get,
the more I need to eat.
They made a movie about that, and then I'll throw up. It's called Thinner.
It's
by Stephen King. You should check it out.
Yeah.
I curse you, Thinner Spiro.
Rumor has it.
You know what? I'll go with that curse because I just get fat. Okay? I do. I just get fatter and fatter. And it happens, and I'm not really hungry, but the first thing I do when I enter the house is I open the fridge. That's the very first thing I do. There may be nothing in it. Mm-hmm. First thing I do, open the fridge. The second thing I do is usually eat. and if there's nothing in the house, I have to order stuff in. My girlfriend's regular joke is leftovers don't exist at the Pulos McGuire house. You know, I mean, what, just off the, you know, scratching the surface. I mean, what do you think?
So yeah, we're definitely going to be scratching the surface. But, yeah. Just for this topic, it's a big topic. So compulsive eaters, or anybody who has a compulsive eating issue, very, very simply, there's a part of them that is separate than the part of you that would like to not eat compulsively.
So I have like a Mr. Hyde food guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always knew that about you, Spiro. Yeah. I always casted a bigger shadow than your body permitted.
That's just his belly
getting
casting
bigger
that
every
shadow.
Day.
So yeah, it's a really tough situation for a lot of people because everybody thinks they just don't have self-discipline. Everybody thinks that they're lacking this like superpower that all the triathletes have and all these, you know, skinny people have. You know, why don't I have this ability to have willpower? Why am I drawn to food in such a powerful, powerful way? And the issue is very simply that literally, we call it self states. There's a part of you that is extremely comforted by food. And the thing is that it happens non-verbally. So it happens quickly. And it happens so frequently that it's just a part of who you are. You don't question it. It's like I come home, I go to the fridge, I open the fridge, I see if there's anything in there. If there's not, I find something.
Fred, you ever get like that eating glass?
I think Fred's more of a sword swallowing kind of guy. But yeah. Okay, well let's take it over to Fred from that from that level. Fred, so what ever possessed you as a young Fred to say, I am going to put this very sharp object?
I can do it.
Way down my throat.
I don't know. You know, I guess I was working at the sideshow, and I had this. Oh, everybody got hired for the Bruce Springsteen.
I think you meant everybody got higher than you got.
And I was just the magician and human blockhead, and I was told by the casting guy, you're not visually interesting enough. So
eat something, kid. Get out of here. Bob.
Well, hold on. Can you explain what? And to kind of drive it home how that's interesting or not interesting. Can you explain to people what a human blockhead does?
Human blockhead hammers ice picks and nails into the center of his skull, and he lives to laugh and joke about it.
And that wasn't interesting enough.
Oh, man.
No, so it wasn't visually strong enough. And everybody else got, they got all cast, the Illustrated Man and all these other people, they got cast for this music video, and I was bummed out. So I went and I studied yoga for the winter season and taught myself to swallow swords using a coat hanger.
Wow. Yikes.
Wow.
Wow.
Was it really that tough? You just couldn't afford the sword at the time? I mean...
No, they just, like, that's what everybody said. You start with a coat hanger, you fold it in a loop so it's not like the sharp, pokey end at the end, you know? And that way it's less... It's actually harder to swallow than a sword, but it's less intimidating, you know? And if you don't line it up right, you don't scratch your throat or anything. So.
Fred, I read that sword swallowing originated in India 2000 BC. Is there an 800 number we can call to discuss the sword swallowing manual?
Actually, they teach at Coney Island, USA, we teach sideshow school, and you can go out there for a week and you learn fire eating, sword swallowing, glass eating, glass walking, how to take care for a snake, like all the working acts of the sideshow. So
with the glass eating, I'm very interested in pica, or you said it pica, right?
Pica.
Pica,
tomato,
you say tomato,
tomato, clay,
tomato.
Rock, roke. But pica is characterized as an appetite for substances largely non-nutritive. I don't really get it. You know, like people are eating glass and clay, and how is what they're doing at the sideshow not that?
Well, it's presented as entertainment. So, you know, Todd Robbins is really the master of the glass eating act in the last 20 years. And that guy, since I've known him, has eaten probably 5,000 light bulbs.
That's a bright idea right there.
Oh! He's hero week, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to tip your waitress. Try the veal, it's delicious. You in the back, you're beautiful.
Get a side of glass.
See the GE on the bulb? That's for good eating.
So one of the things about pica that's interesting to me is it says that one of the symptoms or one of the ways to diagnose is if it's not part of culturally sanctioned practices of eating.
Yes.
So
what is that?
First of all, mm-hmm. most of the stuff that America eats these days, it has no nutritional value. Mm-hmm. So that
so we're all
kind of goes in there.
Yeah.
And, everything is foodish.
And now culturally sanctioned eating, I mean, what Spiro was describing as a problem for himself, that's pretty much the case. So you can drive down the highway and you see billboards that say, you know, 96-ounce steak. You know, that's more for a family of four, and people are proud to be getting that in them.
And I've done the 96-ounce
steak. I've done that.
And I finished it, and then I realized it was a shitty steak, and I should have just paid for it.
You watched The Great Outdoors with John Candy.
I did that thing where you ate the giant steak and the gristle, you know, and the whole thing, and I was like, this is the worst steak I ever fucking ate. You know?
But haven't we become a country that has been sanctioned of what would normally be considered extreme and maladaptive?
Absolutely. I think, speaking from a clinical perspective, I feel so official next to you guys, but, you know, I'll just
We're
go
actually
ahead.
A little scared. You're going to diagnose us. You're going to diagnose us in other ways.
This is all very funny, and then Michelle puts on her therapist voice, and, you know, everything gets all very serious. So there's a real difference between, yes, I am in agreement with you that that a lot of what we consume nowadays is not officially nutritious. It's all about creating a sensation, something very, I mean, a sugar, fat, salt combination that becomes very addicting. I mean, nachos, you know, Doritos, Hershey Kisses, they're considered to be one of the most highly addicted foods out there.
Oreos.
I
was reading something about Oreos being highly addictive in lab rats. They actually did a study where, like, literally these lab rats were scratching our necks, like, hey, baby, how you doing? It didn't sound like that. It sounded more like,
I got the Oreos. Yo.
Yeah, they were scratching her neck. So it was really violent, but that's.
But you say it's not addictive behavior. It's not. It's not the same effect that you would have from taking drugs or alcohol.
There is that part of it. There's two different, at least two different components happening. So there is the addictive response, which is a direct result of your brain's response to a certain combination of food. So if you have like fries or something that's really salty mixed with something that's fatty, your brain.
Yeah. This sounds very pornographic, actually. The more you talk, the more I hear Isaac Hayes. Like, ooh, is the man who greases his fries with the other hand.
Well, what about, I heard about there's this whole phenomenon of girls who drink nail polish.
Oh, yes.
I haven't heard that one.
It's
not like a big thing, but it is a phenomenon where that's like this addiction that girls get into.
Well, it's like Kitty Dukakis used to drink hairspray. I mean, what is it? Is it because of the alcohol content in it? Because I've chugged a couple of bottles of vanilla.
That's what Eskimos do.
I've definitely done that.
It's, you know, I mean, when you go into a place, a realm of something that's so so extreme, usually you're walking into the realm of self-harm. So people, even bulimia, very, not always, again, I want to, you know, preface that, but often the purging part of bulimia is self-harming, and there's a pleasure that's induced from that. So if you're talking about drinking nail polish remover or something really extreme like that, there could be an aspect of self-harm going on.
Like a cutter.
And that's good. Well, like I said, that's a whole other show.
Well, we were looking at different eating disorders, and we came across a fact of, like, you know, 20% of women suffer from anorexia, and we said, yeah, but the rest enjoy it. Well, I'm very open about my addictive behavior, and I was I've been in and out of some rehabs in my time, but I was in rehab one time with a guy who wasn't a drug user, he was fat.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying how he has the worst addiction because, you know, my first step in getting clean was abstinence.
Right.
And you can't abstain from eating. You have to continuously eat, you know. So
Absolutely, there is an addictive quality to it. I guess when I said before that there wasn't, that it's not, what I'm speaking to is that there are people who compulsively eat. It's a spectrum issue. So you're talking about people who have a compulsive eating issue that's a little bit, and you have people who have compulsive eating issues that are a lot.
So where does Spiro fit in there?
I think she's on my plan, so I might see her after this. But and we'll get back to my problems in a second. I do want to talk about one thing with Fred, though. Sure. Fred, it was one of the things we brought up before. You know, when it comes down to the sideshow and eating bizarrely or whatnot, you know, people use the word geek in popular culture to talk. Like, I'm a comic geek. You know, Paul could be considered a food geek to some level. It's people who have a fan base about, but that's not really where the word comes from. And I wanted to, you know, because, you know, we've talked about it before, and I'm wondering, can you kind of elaborate, like, where the word geek came from the circus standpoint?
Yeah, so the geek was really, like, the most extreme act on the carnival lot, and that was the person, it would be the worst alcoholic, drug addict that they could find,
so like
totally
us.
Desperate person, and they would put him in a cage, and they would have snakes in there with him, and they would have him biting the heads off of chickens. Or
so in the area of food, that's Guy Fieri.
Yeah, the geek act typically would be biting the head off a live chicken.
He's Guy Fieri Ironborn from Game of Thrones.
Okay, so basically what Ozzy Osbourne supposedly did on stage was he basically did a geek act with a bat. I mean, basically, if you think about it.
But did you actually eat the bat? You just chewed it?
Who, Ozzy?
No, you.
Well, no, just the geek thing in general. Was there a trick to it? Did people actually bite the heads off chickens and rats and whatnot? Or was this a gag?
Oh, historically, I think it was for real.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They were all married to somebody. They all screamed out, Sharon! Somewhere.
But, you know, that's like going way back. You won't see that stuff done now. But
is there any kind of connection to the people that you see, these geeks and people in the sideshows that eat the glass and do the sword swallowing and things like that? Like, how do you guys eat on your off time? Do they eat crazy shit?
I think most I don't know, most of the performers I know, they're just regular people. Like the glass eating, the worst thing about it for you is probably your
the glass?
Teeth. The teeth, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking it was your
like
asshole.
Sandblasting your teeth, because it's all about chewing it up so good, so it's just sand by the time it goes through you.
Yeah, I knew some guys that used to do that. It's pretty impressive to watch them chow it down.
But they would always eat. His big trick was to use aloe vera juice. And then he would eat lots of, like, pasta or something to just kind of bulk out the, you know, stuff inside. But
let me ask you about pickled punks. That has nothing to do with Williamsburg hipsters, right?
No. We had a crack addict show up at the sideshow one morning selling a pickled punk one year. Joe Coleman has it now.
What exactly is a pickled punk?
So a pickled punk would be a deformed baby, either like a fetus or a prematurely born baby that, you know, like the gold standard of pickled punk would be a two-headed baby, you know, a Siamese twin that...
sitting in a jar of formaldehyde or something?
One body, two heads, or, you know, a lot of times it would be, you know, joined at the head, or however, you know, cyclops babies, like all these deformed human fetuses in a jar. And there's, you know, all these new sideshows they have now, there's a lot of them that are just, they call them bouncers.
Bouncers, yeah.
They're just made out of rubber. And they try and make them look as real as possible. But, you know, there's a few floating around that used to be out in Coney Island and where they're real.
Well, I think now the pickled punks has moved into a different realm.
I'm going to interrupt everybody.
We're going to take a little break.
We're going to break. And thanks for listening in. We will be back.
2021, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free Heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods, guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
I hear that, and I see Guy Fieri being led on a leash.
I see him paraded like on a crowd of people, like crowd surfing on like a village,
drinking out of the giant goblet.
Yeah.
So, and sticking with this, what you were saying about the addiction, you know, mm-hmm. how it's not the same. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, you know, I would have a hell of a time if there was a network called the Heroin Network, you know. but the Food Network, you know, I just don't think it's any better than, you know, Flacco standing on the corner saying, Coke and dope. You know, yeah. It's like chips and dip. Like
Cronut.
You cannot watch the Food Network for 5 minutes without going and getting something to eat. Yeah. You just can't.
You can't watch sports for 5 minutes. You can't watch a commercial for 5 minutes without seeing something. Every commercial is about fucking food.
Every commercial is about food. But, you know, like, if you turn on the Food Network, you know you're going to eat. I mean, it's like...
I literally make food, for instance. Like, I watch the Food Network. I watch a stupid program. And I'll make a tuna fish sandwich while they're making...
Because
while they're spearfishing tuna. Yeah, but I'm eating a tuna fish sandwich.
It's like you don't turn on porn without getting a box of tissues first.
I mean, exactly.
You know what you're going to do. I mean, you're not watching it to see camera angles. What's the director doing? You know?
Exactly. Like,
you turn on the Food Network for that.
I don't have dry skin.
This picture of like, you know, the centerfold in Edible Magazine. You know,
it's I mean, they're kind of dealing in death. I mean, do you think they're contributing to the nation's obesity problems and diabetes?
Well, if you want to get general about it, we are a culture of people who are looking for comfort and satisfaction and feeling good from
instant
something outside of themselves. So everybody's reaching outside of themselves. They're reaching for food. They're reaching for drugs. They're reaching for alcohol. Yeah. They're reaching for something.
Their phones. They're reaching for their phones, as we can see with the date table right here.
Yeah, watching people
nobody's
interact
talking.
Via text.
So, I don't know what's worse. They're reaching for their phones or they're using a fork and knife to eat pizza.
I don't know.
Honestly, which one do we like?
I mean, it's both bad.
They could be from a different country. You know, people from different countries don't fold pizza.
You know what, you want to know something? I want to talk about that for a second. Like, I mean, we keep using the word cultural. Look, I mean, in my house, right, you ate. You know why? Because it was, first and foremost, for my mom, my theory is that's a love thing for her. That's like, look, I love you, therefore I'm going to cook all mm-hmm. the time. And this is what I do. She compulsively cooks. Mm-hmm. My mom shouldn't be cooking right now. My mom should not be handling heavy stuff. She's not that strong right now. Right? But she cannot.
She can't not cook.
She can't not cook. Yeah,
my mom's like that, too.
Right. And she's
and she bitches
cooking.
The whole way through. She's like,
you fucking assholes. You're always making me cook.
She complains the whole way while she's
cooking. My mom does.
And she would not stop cooking.
She complains. Role. She complains if you don't eat. If you don't eat.
That's a generation that came up in wars.
My parents went through a war, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had nothing. We have everything.
Yeah. You know, we have Chipotle, goddammit. Chipotle. Haven't you heard? Ooh.
the thing is, though, from that standpoint also, mm-hmm. it's a really important thing in my family to sit down and eat together. You know, that's the thing. You sit down, you eat together, and then you eat a lot. You do, and yeah. And anytime, if okay, and again, back to my problems, right? If I
skin enough
my,
about me, let's talk yeah, about
if
me.
If I skin my knee, oh, here's some food. If I had a bad day, oh, here's some food.
Spiro, put lamb on the knee with tzatziki sauce. It makes it cling to the flesh.
I don't know why your mother is Russian. That's the only accent I can work up right now. I'm sorry.
No, his mother was more like Spiro.
Spiro.
Okay, back to me. Okay, right, hold on. So. That being said, though, I mean, is that contributing to my issues right now in regards to the fact that since I, you know, I associate my mom and food with goods, so therefore, mm-hmm. is that what I have to disassociate here?
It doesn't just contribute to it. It's not that it contributed; it started it. So at a very long, long time ago, when you were growing up and you were figuring out who you were and your identity, and you were non-verbally dealing with all the stuff that people have to deal with growing up, all the shit that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, you knew very early on, and it does, food tastes good, food feels good, and that was, you were wired to have that situation occur. So, yeah, I mean, the answer, so how to fix it, the question is you got to do some work, and the work is going to be getting to the part of you that compulsively eats and finding out what it really needs.
I'm going to call my mom. Hold on.
You're like a Manchurian candidate.
I
got to
call
food.
My mother. Yeah. All right, that's Mom, what you did, you did this, you did this
a,
to me.
You're in a
you
child
did this to
needs
me.
A hug.
Yeah, that's true. Your inner child doesn't hug.
Your child needs a sausage.
Slap the fucking sandwich out of his hand. So wait, I don't think we ever really got the clarity on why is it not like any other addiction?
Well, you know what? It's very simply how you put it. It's a lot harder to deal with than another addiction because
you
gotta
let the
dragon out. Yeah, you walk the tiger three times a day sort of thing. So I guess the difference is, and I don't even want to call it really a difference. It's where they're similar is that the aspect of a person who wants to eat is so, this is where it's different, is so not extremely polarized. So the part of Spiro that wants to come home after a long day, he's tired, he wants to eat, is not noticeably bad.
He's not going to lose his job because of it.
Right. And the person who comes home and he's had a really bad day and he's fixing and fiending for, you know, whatever drug of choice he has, whether he's prescription drugs now, whether he's popping oxy, he's, you know, shooting up or whatever the case is, that's the bad person.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a difference there because the drug addict or the alcoholic or the gambler has this like social thing and they identify themselves as bad. So it's easier to find.
Yeah.
But you or anybody else who compulsively eats, oh, I'm out with my friends. It's okay. I'll start on Monday. It's okay.
Food.
I'll start tomorrow. So that's where the inherent difference is.
And now it's socially acceptable because if I call him a fat fuck, now I'm a bully.
That's unless
and you will get in trouble for that.
I will get in trouble for that.
Scolded.
And I wasn't really saying that for people. I was just using that as an example.
Well, all right. Let's talk. I'd like to know about a little bit more about bringing Fred back into it. Fred, one of the things we talked about was goldfish swallowing, which is this used to be they still haze people with this in
as long as the goldfish are local. That's okay.
Is this goldfish local?
Actually, I was thinking about what are the most unusual things I've seen, right? Yeah. And I have seen Stevie Starr, who's a performer in London, who will swallow fish and then he can pull them back up. Hmm. He regurgitates water before he does his act, so his stomach's like kind of like clean.
The fish has
and
a
then,
little bowl.
And then I have seen photos, but I've never seen personally. In India and Thailand, there's a big practice of snake swallowing.
Wow.
And they'll actually, I read this account of a guy who saw a street performer in India. The guy swallows a snake, and it's like maybe 3-4 foot long snake.
I dated a girl like that in high school.
Whole thing down, completely gone. Then he has a big bowl of water, and he swallows the water, and then the snake comes back up out of his mouth.
Okay, at least it's coming out of his mouth.
Yikes.
Because the other thing is that, you know, the people, there's, back to India, there's also...
Hold on one second. I know this is horrible, but I have to ask this. Fred, have you ever been with a sword swallower, like, been with?
Like, intimately, my friend?
I have to think about that. I don't know. There's a few years I don't remember.
I'm sure
so
you'd
well,
remember.
You know?
You would have to remember something like that. I mean, I would.
Well, no, something sexual happened to you with a
in Fred's world, that's like you saying, have you ever been with a bartender? He works with Swordswallowers.
Well,
like,
yes.
We're looking for the allure.
I read that the most common injury in sword swallowing is a sore throat. That's so weird.
A sword throat.
A sword throat.
Oh,
that was bad. All right, so let's get back to this culturally accepted thing because
this is a bipolar show.
Oh my god! Yeah, no,
exactly.
I was just, very serious.
We're trying to put them together, but they're both so much fun.
The thing that gets me now, like the whole, we are eating disorder. So, I mean, that kind of explains it. But eating disorders maybe, you know, 10, 15 years ago, in comparison to today, I'm really stuck on this line about it being culturally sanctioned. Because so much of it is approved now. It's approved to, like, you know, for little kids to, you know, eat, you know, cookies and candies and, like, all this stuff.
Is it cultural?
I think so, but if you were to diagnose the country, where what would you say?
If I was to diagnose
the
country.
No bullying.
Yeah, no bullying. But we don't like that. Anesthetizing itself, really. I mean, that's not exactly in the DSM, but it's about, you know, it's about numbing. It's about reaching for what's the easiest path to feeling good. It's about, you know, if you I'm sorry, Spirit, you put yourself on the line.
No, I'm right here. I can't afford therapy, so yeah, you know.
This is his therapy.
So, for instance, if you came home and you were, you know, feeling really badly about yourself for some reason or another, but you're a boy, so you're probably not going to talk about it. You're Greek, so you're definitely not going to talk about it. So you're going to come home and your mom, who's Greek, and she may not know to look at you and say, honey, what's going on? And then you're going to sit there for a while and it'll take a while to get it out of you. Oh, I'm really, you know what? I felt left out, blah, blah. I mean, I'm totally simplifying this. But what she's going to know to do.
She's going to cook for you.
She's going to cook for you.
That's it.
And then it going back to now, to take you off of the chopping block and to put the country or culturally, if you want to talk about it, fast food, you know, the crave, was it White Castle? You can't have just one, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. It really, 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 as you're stating, it says you can't have just one.
No.
And we make it chemically impossible for you to have just one.
You can't have this one, baby. You can't have.
That should be the voice of White Castle.
And then you add on to that. So then you add that to the fact that nobody is really meditating and spending time really going into themselves and figuring out what the hell is really going on.
But when did we like cross over the hill? Because we, you know, we're such you know, we're at the top of the heap as far as countries. You know, we have everything, but it seems that we passed over the crest of the mountain and now we're on a slippery slope of having too much.
Yeah,
you know, so it seems strange that For a country that is so comfortable and that we have everything at our fingertips and you know, much more than anybody else, what the fuck is so wrong that we have to keep feeding our feelings and but I need a big hug and, you know, why are we all such a mess?
I think it's an exponential situation. And so you said everything's at our fingertips. So what are the fingertips? The fingertips are the border.
They're greasy. Let's say that. There's some greasy ass.
I'm licking mine right now.
It's the signification of the end of your body. It's external. So it's always external versus internal. So the question you asked was, why are things seemingly getting exponentially worse? And that's because we are getting satisfied exponentially quicker outside of ourselves. So whereas in 1950. You know, you didn't have access to instant gratification. You had a sensation that you had to work for things a little bit more, that you had to socialize with people, that you had to, you know, figure things out on your own. It was a little bit more internal. You had to be more present. As technology evolves, as things become more and more accessible to us and quicker and quicker and quicker, we, become fixated on instant. I mean, I am. We all do it. If my web page doesn't load fast enough,
I want to interrupt you. We only got a couple minutes left. And I want to say, first, happy birthday, Fred, by the way. Thank you for joining us on your birthday.
Thanks,
Spiro. Made you a glass cake. Yeah.
It's got swords for candles.
And a screen.
And I also want to thank Fred and Michelle for coming on. Guys, if you got anything to pitch right now, now's the time to do it. I know, Michelle, you've got a book coming up.
May I ask one more thing? Because we can go over just for a second if we have to.
Yep.
What would you recommend? If you were to tell us to what we should do? Mm-hmm. Number one, probably put down our phones for a minute and talk to each other.
Don't eat food.
What would your professional advice be?
I really want people who are compulsively eating first of all to be kind to themselves. They have to start by recognizing that the part of them that keeps going back to the fridge over and over and over again is not a part that we want to kill or get rid of. We want to actually be gentle and find out what that part really wants. So honestly, really finding yourself a good therapist is going to be really the first step. If you feel like you're compulsive
and you can
eating,
call me at
dimensionalpsychotherapy.com is my website. But whether it's me or anybody else, you just want to find a therapist who has experience with working with people with eating disorders and eating issues.
Just like you want an addiction therapist if you're addicted.
Yeah, you really do.
And just back to that, I don't want to run out of time. You do have a book coming out, right?
A book coming out in the fall. It's called Peanut Butter. But more recently,
I love peanut butter. I eat it by the jar.
Oh my god! That's why it's
peanut
butter.
It's my kryptonite, peanut butter. I swear to God.
But I have a workshop
coming up. It's called Compulsive Eating: Stop Rejoining Weight Loss Programs. It's July 7th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be in the city. If you go to my website, dimensionalpsychotherapy.com. All the information is there. It's a one-day workshop. It's all about learning how to understand your compulsive eating issues.
And just awesome. To Fred, your season is gearing up. Coney Island's coming up. Where can we find you? What are you going to be doing? What's interesting? What's fun?
I've got a new project going on this year. I'm all about 3D printing, so I have a 3D portrait studio going out in Coney Island.
Can you print
the Coney
food?
Island Scanorama. You come get scanned, and we make you your own statue. And I have an exhibit that's opening next weekend at the Coney Island Museum, where I have recreated, 3D printed a scale model of turn-of-the-century Luna Park, and it's all populated by the people I've been scanning.
That's a horse of a different color.
We got to get action figures made.
Yeah.
Come on out and get your own action figures.
I want a 3D model of Spiro's gun.
They're about 6 inches tall, and you can do whatever you want, cool. And we'll make you your own likeness.
And one more thing for Michelle.
I'm sorry, Fred. I don't mean to cut you off. There's a discount for anybody who wants to go to the compulsive eating workshop. It's called Radio 10. So if you put that in when you order, you get 10% off.
Hey.
Look at
that. Very nice.
Yeah, all right, cool. All right, so
off.
That's pretty much it this week. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Michelle. This has been Eating Disorder.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.